All right, Luke chapter 14, we're going to begin reading the verse number 25 tonight. We'll read down to the end of the chapter, verse number 35. And I want to just teach tonight, preach just a little bit on when a church leans cultish. When a church leans cultish. We'll start here, we'll look at some other verses tonight. I just want to give you a few thoughts about this word cultish tonight and the word cult. Verse number 25 says, "And there went a great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them," this is Jesus Christ talking now, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Chapter 14, verse number 27. "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build, was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage, and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Lord, tonight we come to you now in the service. We thank you, Father, for those who are able to make it this evening. We do pray for those who tonight are working, those who are traveling, those who are not able physically to be here. God, we pray that you would help them, Father. Lord, we pray that those listening via live stream would be as blessed as well. And Lord, may the gospel, Father, go out from this place. May, Lord, may we be the light of this city, Father. Lord, be a good ambassador, Father, for you. God, I pray that you'll be with our families now and to preach your word tonight. Lord, help us this evening. Rest upon this place. Give great liberty. And Father, great help we ask tonight. We pray in your name. Amen. There's a favorite term being tossed around. If you listen to podcasts and the other Christians, you hear this word cult, the word cult or cultish being tossed around. A few weeks ago, I was accused of being cultish and our church being cultish. And the word cultish has become a favorite term to be used by the enlightened believer indoctrinated with the world's wisdom. To label any church, ministry, or person as cultish that disagrees with their liberal ideology and carnal lifestyle. Calling a church, ministry, or person cultish doesn't make it so. Right. A church, ministry, or person that doesn't agree with your opinions, preferences, or even convictions doesn't make it cultish. Right. A church, ministry, or person that doesn't measure up to your expectations, refuses to bow to your demands, doesn't make that person or church cultish. A church ministry or person that has deemed it to be offensive by you doesn't make it also cultish. And so this word is being used oftentimes today among disgruntled church members to justify their own carnal lifestyle and why they want to leave a church. Basically, it's just a way to shirk off accountability to the Lord. Right? So I find it very interesting. Those who scream for tolerance and liberty are more intolerant and controlling than those that they accuse.
Yeah.
Often those that demand patience and forgiveness offer the least amount of patience and forgiveness to others. Often those that seek and demand attention and charity offer the least amount of kindness and charity of their own to others around them.
Yep.
Often those that demand the strictest penalty for sinners are guilty of the same sins and much of the time much more. This nonsense is a fiery dart of the devil, tweaking the body of Christ and distort the believer's understanding of the Word of God. For Christianity boasts of how you're not like other men, you are the one that may be cultish. For Christianity is for the gossip and slander of others while you walk in the flesh, you, my friend, might be cultish. By their own definition of cultish, this would make Walmart a cult. This would make McDonald's and Hardee's a cult. You see, they tell you when to be there. They tell you what to wear. They tell you how to conduct yourself there. So by the very definition, then Walmart would be a cult. If you're a Green Bay Packers fan or a Bears fan, that would be part, that would be cultish. And being a Democrat would definitely be a cult. And stupid. The word cult means this. It means a system of religious veneration and devotion directed toward a particular figure or object. It is also defined as a relatively small group of people having religious beliefs or practices regarded by others as strange or sinister. Also defined as a misplaced or excessive admiration for a particular person or thing. And so with that definition, it's easy for me to believe the worldly, unsaved person might look at a church like ours and say that's cultish, because our admiration and dedication to the Lord to them is foreign. It's not sinister, but to them it would be strange. And so when the world says that, the unsaved man says, that looks like you're cultish, even though that they follow a sports team or a job like a cult, I don't get too upset. But it does bother me just a little bit, not that I'm going to ruin my night. I'll take a baby aspirin when I get home and be okay. But it does bother me when Christians, who are professed to be born again, Bible believers, and love the Lord and love the Bible, look at a church like ours, and because they don't get their way, because they choose to be offended and be a millennial snowflake, to label our church as cultish. I find that very interesting. And by the way, those that label our church as cultish, I see the direction that they're going, what they have, and if I'm cultish, I'll take what I have over what they have. I don't mean that to be holier than thou, or I don't mean that to be sound to be condemning. Because you are your own. Listen, I'll talk to this a little bit later on this evening. I don't have to answer for you. I'm not your God. I'm not your Holy Spirit. And I'm just the pastor of this church, and my boundaries within the Word of God, and I'm not the husband, the head of your home, not the Holy Spirit of your home. And so you can do as you want to do, and you can do as you please, because you have to answer God for that. There are many things I don't do because, now listen, I'm not perfect. I'm far from perfect. And if you don't believe me, just come to our house and spend a couple of days or ask my wife. Okay? We can vouch that we are far from perfect. We're not the perfect couple. We don't have the perfect marriage. Well, we have a perfect marriage as far as we're concerned, but it's not without sin. It's not without problems. We've been married 30 years. We've had some knockdown, drag out arguments and fights. And, after I get done bleeding, she picks me up and says, "Are you now who's right?" And, I'm not here tonight to cast stones and say that somehow that I'm better than anybody else. But I have through the years watched some things. And if our church is a cult, then I'd rather have what we have than what the world has, and then try to. I've seen that side. I know that where that direction goes. I don't want that direction. And by the way, so well, we're too strict here. We're too many rules. And by the way, we're not legalistic. All right, legalism by the definition means you have to perform some type of work to be saved. But God did call us to be holy. And so if by being holy misses out on a lot of things the world has to offer, I'm fine with that. I've tried a few of those things. They don't pan out. And by the way, if our churches keep on moving to the left and become more worldly, where are we going to be at in two generations if God tarries? Right. There won't be a gospel. There won't be any gospel. It'll be perverted. And so I just want to air that tonight. Let me give you a couple of things about. Number one is this. What is not cultish? What is not cultish? One is this. Pointing men to Jesus Christ is not cultish. Pointing men to Jesus Christ is not cultish. John 14:6, Christ said this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father but by me." So there are not many ways to heaven. So if you want to label us cultish because we that Christ is the only way to heaven, that's fine. Then we'll be cultish in that manner because he's the only way to get to heaven. There's not many ways. There's not every road leads to heaven. Not every road leads to God. You can't just pick and choose what you want to believe and pull out what you don't want to believe. The Bible says, and Christ proclaimed, "I'm the only way to God. If you're going to have everlasting life, you must come to the Father by me." And so it's a church that does not preach that way, may have some type of liberty, but they're a false church. Right. And so when a church declares that Christ is the only way, they're not cultish. They're right with God. They're Bible believers.
Amen.
Number two, believing the word of God is not cultish.
Right.
Romans 10:17 says, since faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. John 17:17, the Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And so we as a believers, we as, not perfect, all right, so this, and by the way, a lot of times that all that stupidity of calling people cultish is just a way to distract from the real problem, distract from their own own problems, and try to justify their own sin, their own poor choices, and try to tear down something that is moving forward for the Lord. And so I understand tonight that we have room for growth. I understand tonight we have room for improvement. Believing the Bible is not cultish. God says that's how faith comes. God calls it it's truth, and we're sanctified through truth. And so this book is God's word, and it's not cultish. Number three, preaching the word of God is not cultish. 2 Timothy 4:2, Timothy was told, instructed by the apostle Paul, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And so the preacher, the missionary, in fact, the believer, we're told to preach the word of God. Now, I understand that sometimes in the pulpit, men are men, and if you think a pastor is perfect, then you might be cultish in your thinking. If you think a pastor shouldn't make any mistakes or say anything wrong, you may be cultish in your thinking. If you think the pastor is supposed to be somehow better than you are to behave, then you're cultish in your thinking. All right? There's no difference between the pulpit and the pew. This is a sacred place, a sacred desk, I get that. But as far as the person holding, I don't understand that we're held to a higher standard, but this idea that somehow there's a difference between laity and clergy, that's Catholic.
Right.
And God said he hates that doctrine.
Right.
We're all the same in God's eyes. And so if you expect the preacher to live a certain way, then you live a certain way as well.
Right. Yeah.
So preaching the word is not cultish. Preaching against sin is not cultish. John the Baptist preached against sin. Christ preached against sin, and he called the Pharisees and the scribes hypocrites and vipers. Nehemiah preached against sin. He got so angry, said he pulled their hair and he cursed them.
Right.
There were some rough dudes back in the Old Testament. John the Baptist didn't preach all flowery, ecumenical. He was a wild man. Came out of the desert preaching with honey and locusts dripping off his beard. Wearing wild clothes and didn't have priestly garments on. And so be careful how you try to put a preacher in a box. And preaching against divorce is not cultish.
Right.
I understand that's the world, that's acceptable in the world today, but God still said it's between one man and one woman till death do them part. He said what he has joined together, no man put asunder. And so divorce, no matter what the world says, no matter what the church says, divorce is still wrong. Preach against fornication is not cultish. Preach against, hey, keeping your teens pure and protecting your children. Staying out of the dance places and the proms and the homecomings and all these things that promote promiscuity and dating alone in the car somewhere and shacking up. It may not be popular, but it's not cultish. Preach against immodesty is not cultish. Okay, a few crickets.
Amen.
And a lot of times we get nailed today for being cultish because of the way we dress. I think you ought to stand out. I don't think you have to be Amish, but you ought to be peculiar. Preaching against bitterness and pride is not cultish. Preaching repentance and standards and holiness is not cultish. Preaching hard is not cultish. Number four, higher standards than yours is not cultish. I don't understand why people... We want to tear someone down with higher standards than they have. Listen, somebody's got some standards and convictions. They have that for a reason. It's their safety net. For some reason, they place that in their life for a protection, for a barrier. And you say, well, I don't need that. Then don't have it. But don't tear down those that do have it. The Bible says in 1 Peter, as obedient children, not fashion yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it's written, be holy, for I am holy. And so we're called to be holy. We're called to be different. We're called to be a peculiar person. And by the way, let me say this to the snowflakes and the tender-hearted. Quit proclaiming to be a survivor of an abusive situation just to justify your carnal behavior and your carnal lifestyle. All these folks that are growing up in these websites and podcasts of surviving fundamentalists, and all they could get on and complain about how that they were raised in an independent Baptist home with standards and rules and regulations and caring parents, and somehow they're mad because they miss prom and they miss fornicating, they miss drinking, they miss running around in bikinis and mixed bathing, and somehow their life is tarnished by that and messed up and abused and scarred. Thank God. If I was a young person, I would thank God I missed that stuff. Take a bunch of baggage into your marriage. And so tonight, and by the way, you do a lot of disrespect to your parents and God when you complain about being raised in a, I don't understand that fundamental Baptists aren't perfect. We have a lot of things that we need to get cleaned up. And I understand that sometimes that there's people within our circle that abuse the situation. I get all of that. But let me tell you something. These snowflakes that start their own little movements, what do you think this ecumenical movement is going to be in 80 years from now? You young folks better turn your heads on straight, get a hold of God, because you say, well, there's problems in the independent Baptist church, and I can name preachers. I understand you can name preachers. But you don't think the Catholics have pedophiles and fornicators? You don't think the new ecumenical churches that are ecumenical and rock and roll churches, they don't have pedophiles and sodomites and fornicators and adulterers and thieves? You know why that they're those kind of people in every denomination you find? Because we have a sin nature. Now, I'm not saying that we should cover sin up. I believe tonight, listen, you touch a young person in this church, you're going to jail. We ain't covering it up. Okay, I'm not going to counsel with you. Because if I counsel with you, you're going to be looking at the barrel of a gun. That's my counseling. If you touch a young person, my counseling is I'm sending to Jesus, let him take care of it. If that's where you're going to go, I'm not sure. So I get not covering things up. This idea, well, I'm going to go liberal because there's better. Same mess. The goal of the believer isn't to use their liberty to see how much they can resemble the world. The liberty of the believer is to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. This idea, I want to get close to, well, as I possibly can, be called a Christian still. It bothers me that people want to complain and nail our church about, our standing against drinking because they want to drink. And they want to somehow justify the miracles of, they want to somehow take the miracles of Christ to justify their getting a buzz. You said the word, and I understand, I get the whole thing, and I know you're smarter than I am, I understand that, and you know Greek and Hebrew and all this stuff, and you got it all figured out, but why would Christ condemn drinking, and then get people buzzed? Don't make any sense to me. So don't blame Christ for your reason to want to get a buzz. Don't use the Bible to justify your carnality. Just say, I want a drink. Then go do it then. You have the answer to God for that, not anybody else. But don't say it's Christian and Christ-like to go get buzzed. Now, let me say the other side of the coin. Some with lower standards than you, don't automatically make them a bad Christian. Amen. Well, she wears pants. Keep your mouth shut. She might be a better Christian than you are in your dress.
Right. That's good.
Lord's not impressed with the outward performance if the inward heart's not right. And you all know I'm not for tattoos, but I met a lot of folks with tattoos that are better Christians than I am. No, I won't get one. I have a conviction about that. But what are you going to do when people get tattoos? I say, bring them on. Come on in. Amen. Sit in the front pew.
Amen.
Tattoos don't scare Jesus. When Bill gets to heaven, he'll get a brand new body. He'll be tattoo free. So don't get all upset when somebody has lower standards than you do. Doesn't mean they're a worse Christian. That's cultish thinking.
Yeah, that's good.
Christians need to mind their own business and faithfully serve God.
Right.
You know, before we had cell phones and social media and internet, Christians got along a lot better because they minded their own business. We were too busy. You couldn't send pictures over the telephone back then. You couldn't look, you know, you couldn't lift a phone and dial a couple numbers on a rotary dial and check out somebody's social profile. Like, oh, can't believe what they're wearing. Now, by the way, you don't be judged for your stupidity and your carnality. Don't put it on Facebook. You know, if you're a member of this church, you go to a beach and put on a picture of you in a bikini, don't get mad when you get judged. If you put cuss words and profanity on a Facebook page or an Instagram page, don't get mad when somebody says something about it. You're asking for attention. Listen, there's some things that I do I don't post because I don't want your comments. If I want your comments, you're going to know. It'll be obvious by the post. Comment. And so I just want to encourage you tonight that mind your own. Listen, we do a great justice and a great service for the Lord by minding our own business. You have enough to worry about in your own life, with your own stinking heart, in your own flesh, in your own carnality, without trying to figure out how to fix somebody else's. And when you get perfect, let us know, because we'll ship you out of here because you'll be too good for us. Now, let me go on. I got to get through this. Practicing church discipline is not cultish. Now, I've been told that, well, you like church discipline. I don't like it. I don't like doing it. Next, being offended or disappointed by a church doesn't make the church cultish. By the way, quit being offended.
Yeah.
Quit being offended. Well, I didn't get my expectations met. Good, neither did I. Because you're just as much disappointed as I am. All right? Just chalk it up. Is that going to get any better anywhere else? All right? I don't know of any wife that's not been disappointed in their marriage at one point in time. Right. Or any husband that's not has his expectations met sometime in his marriage, or a son, or a daughter, or a parent. It's only the yardbird that's, well, you know, I'm going to divorce my wife because I'm disappointed in her. Well, that's stupid. Yeah. Yeah. Some of you would have 45 jobs if you left every job because you're disappointed. So why would you leave a church every time you get a little bit disappointed and get your feelings hurt a little bit? The devil is loving the independent Baptist churches because all these people being offended and, well, you're cultists, we're leaving. He just loves it because it weakens the body of Christ. Yeah. Think of the testimony that we leave behind when we always, you know, well, we're offended, we're upset because so-and-so didn't do X, Y, Z for me, and so I'm going to go somewhere else. And when I'm going to go, I'm going to criticize the pastor and the people there and badmouth them and slander them and gossip and complain and cry and moan. Good job, you're doing the devil's bidding. Pushing back against liberalism and the world's agenda is not cultish. I know that in the last few months, I've made some folks a little bit upset about some things I said about COVID and the Democrat mafia and all those things, but I'm just, so you shouldn't preach so hard. They're pushing harder than we're preaching, I guarantee you that. You think of Joe Biden and a communist, whatever her name is, gets in the office, you think they're not going to push hard? And so, a preacher pushing back against liberalism and carnality and the left agenda is not cultish. I'm afraid what our country could do to our grandchildren. If the Lord tarries. We gotta have something to push back. And sometimes you gotta push back harder than you're being pushed. We've raised a bunch of snowflakes that just can't take a pushing. Listen, say you Christians want to quit because every time you get a little bit of opposition, why don't you just get a little fight and you push back a little harder? Come on. Well, I'm just so hard. Living with the devil is harder.
Right.
Being divorced is harder. Right. Losing your kids is harder.
Right.
Just grow up. Put some big boy pants on. Be a man. And just push back. Now, let me tell you what a cult is. Now that you've asked. Look with me at Acts chapter 20. Acts 20. Preacher, you shouldn't preach upset. That's why God didn't call you to preach, because you don't get upset about anything.
Amen.
I'm sure Nehemiah cleansed the temple. He went in there very politely. And politely pulled their hair and politely cursed them. Probably had a mat, yeah. I'm afraid these Old Testament saints, we wouldn't like very much. Like, well, no, they're just too rough. Look at chapter 20, verse number 27. Here, Paul is instructing the church here as he gets ready to go to Jerusalem. This is verse number 27. He says, for I am not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. He said, preacher, are you afraid to make some? Listen, you know, if I'm going to be a pastor in this church till God takes me home, I'm not going to be worried about who's all mad at me.
Amen.
You want to be mad? Be mad. You want to leave? I don't like that. You know, if you're on the social media tonight, you're watching live stream. You know how you can not be mad? Just shut me off.
Right.
Listen, I didn't grow up with social media, so not having likes and thumbs up and hearts don't bother me. Listen, I grew up in a deep, broken home. I was a stepchild. Whatever you do, ain't going to bother me. Okay? Ain't going to faze me a bit. Well, you get down to five people in your church, then we'll have five people with a good service then.
Amen.
They don't bother me a bit. You can run. Listen, I want to come here to stay. Come here to serve God. And I'm not going to just check the wind every time I get in the pulpit, see where the wind is blowing and see who likes what and see who's going to approve of me and give me the thumbs up sign and sit in the pew and put money in the offering plate. Listen, if I have to go back and get a job to put food on my table, I'm not opposed to working. I've worked for a long time and working don't bother me a bit. And so you don't feed me, that God feeds me.
Yeah.
And so if you don't like this, then just turn it off or go to hope. And they'll stroke your ego and make you feel good inside and tell you a few stories every week and have their rock band and you can go home all carnaled up. And if you don't like that, then lump it, bump it, take it every way you can. I don't really care tonight. Or tomorrow, or Saturday, or Sunday. Now watch this. Look at verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you. I shouldn't be listening to podcasts during the day. Oh. Verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing, watch it now, shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. You see that there? Among you. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Now I'll give you three thoughts tonight. How can you tell when a church is leaning cultish? Okay, so this is all for you that are watching or listening tonight, that think that being old-fashioned, Bible believer is cultish. Let me help you out what cultish is, all right? And then you can label it how you want to label it. But here's what cultish is. Number one is this, when the gospel is perverted. When the gospel is perverted. Paul said, I declare unto you the whole counsel of God. All right? The gospel of Christ separates true religion from false religions and cults.
Amen.
The gospel separates that. So you may not like certain preferences or practices about a certain church. That don't make them cultish.
Right.
Okay? The gospel of Christ when the gospel is perverted, then that's a false religion. It's cultish. The gospel of Christ cannot be changed, altered, or modified.
Amen.
Right? And so as long as, before I got here, before Bob Mace got here, before most of you got here, this church was a gospel preaching church. And by the grace of God, we're going to stay at Gospel Preaching Church. Amen. It's not about doing good works. It's not about trying to earn your way to heaven. It's not about being baptized or a member of the church, so I think you ought to do all those things. It's about trusting Christ as your personal Savior, and He's the focus of our admiration. He's the focus of our worship and our love. And so it's about the Gospel.
Amen.
And so listen, if we change from the Gospel of Christ, then you have every right to say you're a cult and you're not about a believer. But as long as some of these men in the pew are here, as long as I'm here in the pulpit, by the grace of God, we're going to remain a gospel-preaching church, Christ and Christ alone.
Amen.
There is no other way besides Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Number two, when the Bible is no longer the final authority in all manners of doctrine and practice, then that place leans cultish. Verse number 32 says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." And so tonight, we remind us tonight of our church policy, of our church constitution, that the word of God, the King James Bible, by the way, is our final authority in all manners of doctrine and practice. Now, that does not mean that the pastor is perfect or the deacons are perfect. Our church members are perfect. If you go to our houses, whether it's from the back pew to the pulpit, you go to our houses, you will probably find some things there you say that I disagree with. I get that. Like in your house tonight, I can point out some things that I don't may not agree with or like. But that does not change what truth is. The sins of the pastor, the sins of the people, the sins of a church does not change what truth is. And it should not give us an excuse to say, well, if they are sinners, I'm not going to believe the Bible. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. It's like saying, if my wife burns supper, I'm never going to eat again. You can tell she doesn't burn supper very often. All right? So don't throw away the Word of God because you found that a preacher is not infallible. Well, that preacher is something terrible. Yeah, they're able to do that. That doesn't make God any less God. But the Bible any less true. Okay? Now the Bible says, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished unto all good works. Psalms 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." The Bible has all the answers for all matters of life. Now, our hope tonight, and my hope, and my striving is that I would yield myself to the Word of God. But I like that song that Brother Adam likes, "Come Thou Fount." That verse gets me every time. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We're prone to wander because this whole, I'm not making excuses tonight, but we are still human beings. So it's the idea that, well, because a preacher, a church is not perfect, that I'm going to toss the Bible aside is not even logical. It doesn't make any spiritual sense tonight. So regardless, when you fail, get back up and say, you know what? I failed. I made a mistake. I sinned against God. But His Word still is my final authority in life, in all doctrine and practices. The Bible does not change or accommodate the world's wisdom or man's feelings.
Amen.
When God wrote the Bible, when God inspired the Bible, He didn't take your feelings in consideration. Now God does care for you. He does love you. He, listen, if you're the only sinner in the world, He would send His Son to die for you. He loves you beyond measure. He loves you more than we could ever fathom. He loves you, and knowing that you're a sinner, knowing that we're violent, corrupt, and we have a sin nature. He loves you, but He's not changed His word to accommodate your feelings. The Bible, and by the way, the Bible also interprets the Bible. This idea, well, I don't see it that way. You don't have to. Well, preacher, you just interpret the Bible the way you want to, interpret the way I want to. That's not how it works. The Bible always, listen, if you study the Bible always interprets itself. Well, there's many, many interpretations. No, there's not. No, there's not many interpretations. Now, there might be many applications, but there's one truth. There's one truth. So, when the gospel is perverted, that's a church leaning cultish. When the word of God no longer becomes the final authority, all of a sudden a preacher claims extra biblical revelation, or somehow he knows more than you know, then that's a church leaning cultish. Lastly is this. When Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is diminished and a man is promoted. That's a cultish leaning church. Look at verse number 30. Let's see. Also, of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. See, the Bible warns us of this cultish leaning churches. That among the church, among the believers, among those that sit in the pew, among the pulpit, there'll be those that are going to rise up and speak perverse things. What's the motivation? To draw disciples, to draw others after them. That is a cultish leaning church. When Christ is no longer the focus, and he's no longer the head, and a pastor becomes the focus of a church, that's a cultish leaning church. Now, it's easy for a pastor or a predominant member in churches like ours to become the focus. We've seen that over and over again in the history of any kind of church. I don't care what denomination they are, what you label them, it's easy for a leader to become the main focus. Can I say this? I think that people worship too much Jack Hiles. Now, that might get out there on social media and I'll get branded as, you know, a heretic or whatever. That's fine. If I die, don't build me a statue. Don't put a mural on the wall somewhere, the church, for me. Okay, you'll lessen the value of the building. But that, to me, that I can see that I would say labels on being cultish. So we're the body and Christ is the head. Amen. The head receives all the focus and the glory. And so, by the way, I thank God for the position of the pastorate. I thank God for the office of the pastorate. But we're just to oversee. That's all we are. We're to point people to Jesus Christ. Paul said, I commend you to God. Not to a college, not to a certain headquarters somewhere, not to an evangelist or a missionary, not to a big name preacher, to God. Amen. And all these pastors are, we're shepherds to point the flock to Jesus Christ. If ever comes to a place where a pastor points the shepherd or points the church to himself, that's cultish leading church, and you need to hold them accountable and move on. The pastor is not above being questioned. He's not above accountability. This idea that, you know, when a pastor claims to be a pastor, a man of God, you can never question him, and whatever he says must go. I'm all for pastor authority, but there's limits within that authority as well. This idea that a pastor cannot be questioned or held accountable or even sometimes dismissed for sin, that's cultish. Now, I don't think you've got to be nitpicky. Every time the pastor does something you don't quite like, to call on the carpet about it and be in his office, give him 14 reasons why somehow you got it all figured out. That's where you're going to be. Then go get a church and pastor it. But God says in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God, amen, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. Now listen, I know I'm not perfect. I know I can make mistakes with say some things I shouldn't probably say, but I don't know if I've ever tried to promote myself as the focus of this church. Right. And if I do ever get that, if I ever borderline on that, somebody politely come by and say, hey, preacher, you know what, let's talk about it man to man about some things. But my focus and my desire is to point people to Christ because he's the answer. Yes, right. I don't want that responsibility. I don't want the responsibility of fixing all your problems. Okay, because I'll need a shrink. Right? I'm not the Holy Spirit. Now, strong leadership is not cultish, by the way. Now, some of you men and some of you, you know, young men that just don't like strong leadership, grow up. Put away your skinny jeans and put on a flannel shirt once and grow up. These colleges are ruining our young men. Go on, here's them ought to be soft and wimpy and, you know, just get along and love wins. Truth wins. I'm all for love. This idea, well, preacher, love wins. What idiot told you that? I believe in charity. I understand, I preach charity and forgiveness. But sincerity and love doesn't always win, but truth will. This idea, you know, So strong leadership is not cultish. A pastor refusing to condone your sin or agree with your opinion is not cultish. Do you know it's not that you can have your opinion, I can have mine, and neither one of us is cultish? But if you don't agree with me, you're cultish. Then you're a moron. You don't even agree with yourself half the time. Why should I agree with you? Have we come to a place in our life in America that we can no longer agree with each other? We disagree on something and not get upset and offended and not, well, I just can't be your friend no more because pastor don't agree with me. You're going to be a lonely old man, sir. Because if your wife is a female, she ain't going to agree with you half the time either. When a pastor tries to control your personal life, he is out of his boundaries. I don't know tonight. I'm thinking, and I'm not trying to boast tonight at all, because I am the least spiritual person in this room. I guarantee you that. But I can't think of the 13 years I've been here where I've tried to control anybody's personal life. That's not my boundaries. Now, I have to oversee what happens in this church as a church family. Some things, as a pastor overseeing the church, I have a right to say, if you're going to be a leader in our church, please be faithful to our meetings. Yeah. If you're going to be a leader in our church, please use the King James Bible. Right. If you're going to be a Sunday school teacher, please come to all the services. If you're going to be on the platform, please be modest and wear right appropriate clothing. Right. Please don't wear jean skirts and slits in your skirts if you'll be on the platform. Please look modest. I have the right to do that. But listen, if you want to wear a jean skirt and have it slip from here to yonder at home, that's not my business. Do it. Have a good time. If you want to put on a pair of pants and run around the house, I don't care. It's not my place. And I'm not going to answer for it. And I ain't going to worry about it either. I don't go home at night thinking, oh, I wonder if Emily's at home wearing a pair of pants. I don't think about it. And if she does, that's going to hurt her father. It's not my business. I wonder if Tom is going to smoke a cigar tonight when he gets home. If he does, call me. I'll come over and help you. Now, I'm all for standards tonight, but let me tell you something. I am not the Holy Spirit in your life. I've heard a pastor saying, you can't buy a car unless you ask me first. That's cultish. I don't care what you buy. That's not my business. Go buy every car you see. I don't really care. In fact, if you can buy a nice car, I applaud you. Wonderful. I want you to have nice things. I've heard pastors say and try to counsel people when they can have children, when they can't have children. That's not my business. Man, spit out 45 kids. I don't care. Just keep on tithing. It's not my business. It's really, well, pastor, should I buy a house? I don't know, ask the Lord if you should buy a house. Now, I'm not above counseling someone, giving my opinion, but listen, I'm not the Holy Spirit of God, and I don't have the final authority in this church in your personal life. This idea that people are sometimes too controlling. And don't say it's that's what the pulpit is. I've met a few folks in the pew that are pretty controlling. That's why some folks left here, because they can't control the preacher. Now, I'm not trying to be unreasonable tonight or this big bull in china cabinet, but I'm not going to be controlled.
Good, come on.
If I'm going to be controlled, then someone's going to leave, either you or me, because I'm not going to be controlled. And so what you do with your purchases are your decisions. I don't have the right to control your finances, what you wear in your home, what you buy for groceries, who your friends are, by the way. Some preachers say, you can only have friends in a church house. Now, I think that your friends should be Christians. How do you believe that? You said, listen, you young people should marry a Christian. A Bible-believing Christian. With the same standards, by the way. I believe that. But don't you, if you have a friend from Grace Baptist, I'm not offended by that. Have them. If you have friends from Bible Baptist in church in Dubuque here, have them. Tom Brennan is my friend. Pastor Brennan is my friend. We supper together on Monday night, had a great time. Had coffee and pie and hamburgers, had a great time. So while you're sitting, no, it's none of your business who my friends are. And I'm not going to control who your friends are. This idea, the people are so insecure. And so tonight, I don't have the right to say who your friends are, but I have the right to preach what kind of friends you should have. Amen. When a pastor tries to claim extra-biblical revelations, he is out of his boundaries. If I were to say to you, the Lord told me something, does it match up with this book? The book is right and I'm wrong. By the way, when you tell me something that you got peace about or prayed about is contrary to this book, the book is right and you're still wrong.
Yeah.
This idea, I don't know what this is, you know, people try to justify it, and I'm just as guilty as anybody else. Well, I prayed about it, I got peace about it. Not from God you didn't, if it's contrary to that book.
Right.
Not from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit didn't give you peace to marry a Jezebel, to date a long saved man, to run around and hide behind your parents' back and be rebellious. That may be a spirit, but it's the Holy Spirit. When a pastor tries to be the Holy Spirit, he is out of his boundaries. I can't lead you tonight. Listen, God has a will for your life. And I can tell you some things from where we're God, but I can't tell you everything. That's between you and God. You find God's will for your life and then go do it. Go do it. Now, let me close with back in our text that we left. I read that for you. I think, why did you read Luke and then go all over the place? I had a launching point from somewhere. I wanted to be like every other preacher, just read a text, depart from the text, and never return to the text. look at Luke chapter 14. Now, using the term cultish loosely is very damaging to Christianity. Let me just say that tonight. If you have a problem with this church, I would understand that, really. But then say what it is. Don't just throw out the word cultish out. Just say, well, preacher, I believe you preach too hard, and some things that I want to do, and you don't like it, so we're leaving. I respect that kind of honesty. I don't respect this idea of cult because you're damaging true Christianity. Now, the Lord demands devotion and discipleship. Look what he says here in Luke 14, verse number 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, take a breath here. The Lord's not saying you got to despise your family, but he's saying this, you can't put them first. This idea that, well, my family comes before God does. Sure, you have that wrong. Now, you can be saved. He's not saying you can't be saved. He's saying you can't be my disciple. See, the world says, that's cultish! But Christ says, if you want to be my disciple, you got to love me first. Amen. Put me first. Amen. Your love for me should look like hatred to your family. You should put me before you put your father and your mother. And by the way, if you put God first and Christ first in your life, your family's going to be a nice place to receive a lot of love from you.
Amen.
You want to love your children right? Put Lord first. Ma'am, you want to love your husband right? Put the Lord first. Love him first. Sir, you want to be a good husband? Then love the Lord first before you love your wife. And so he demands. That's cultish! That's Christianity. Look at verse number 26. He says you have to love him when you love your own life. You know, these folks are throwing the word cultish around and I'm offended and I'm, you know, upset and I'm hurt and I'm wounded by the Independent Baptist Church. They love their life when they love the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that we do everything just right. Don't misunderstand me that way. I'm not saying that the pulpit is a perfect place. Some of the churches, or the churches sometimes cannot do things wrong to hurt people. I've been doing this for a long time. I've been hurt by church people and by preachers. I understand. But you know why we get offended, stay offended and leave and throw a fit? Because we love our life more than we love Him.
Good.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not saying you'll never be offended. But if you love Him, you'll get over it.
Right, you're right.
And it won't take you 5 years to get over it.
Right. Amen.
Take you about 5 minutes. Well, maybe 5 hours or 5 days, but not 5 years. Okay? Maybe a good week, you know, brood about it for a couple of days, you know. Look at verse number 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Christ says that He demands sacrifice and faithfulness. Now, the world says that's cultish, and even some liberals say it's cultish. But Christ said, you can be saved by just faith. If you want to be my disciple, you got to bear your cross and follow me daily. Faithfulness. Look at verse number 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. He calls for complete surrender. He's saying, count the cost to being my disciple. Count the cost. So that way you can finish. You know this idea, as long as you start, don't finish. You know, you do something great in the middle, that's wonderful. Christ is more concerned about you starting and finishing than making some big grander spot in the middle. When I was in Bible college, a man there ran off with a secretary, left his wife, ran off with a secretary that was only to be his daughter. When he got criticized for it and kind of held accountable for it, there were those that said, well, at least he was a good man while he was here. He led a lot of folks to the Lord, and so we shouldn't say anything because he led a lot of folks to the Lord. I said, that's hogwash. He should have finished.
Right.
Count the cost. Now listen, by the way, I could spin out tomorrow. I'm not trying to say that I'm above that. But what God's saying here is, listen, if you want to be my disciple, count the cost. It's going to cost you. Salvation is free. It costs him everything. Being a disciple will cost you something. And the liberal today wants everything for nothing.
Right.
I want to be saved and be a disciple for nothing. And Christ said this, salvation costs me everything, but being a disciple will cost you something.
Amen.
You got to love me first and be faithful and sacrifice and surrender. All that, listen, 10% don't belong to me. All that you have belongs to me. And that's really where the happy Christian's at. So you can see now, look at Luke chapter 14, other verses like that, where the unsaved man says, that believer is cultish. Why? Because he's put Christ first in his life, loves him supremely, and yields himself to him completely. That's difficult to do because we're human beings, but that should be our push. So when the world says that's cultish, I say we must be doing something right then. Because if I fit in with them and they love me, I'm doing something wrong. But here's what bothers me. When Christians who profess to know Christ, know the book, look at another believer and say, by the way you're acting, according to Luke 14, you're cultish. That's just shows their carnality.
Right.
So the spiritual believer, by the grace of God, lives for Christ. If that makes us cultish, then let's be cultish. But not to a man. Don't be cultish to me. Don't put me as a focal point. Follow me as I follow Christ. But if I step out from following Christ, then follow Christ. But the victor is not the Savior of our church. Good teacher, good friend, a good preacher, but he's not the focus. Don't put him up too high. Brother Tom's been deacon here for a long time. Been our oldest member of our church. Been here longer than anybody else has. He is just still human. He's a deacon for a reason. Because he's human. No, don't admire him. It's all about, he's not, listen, these guys in our pew tonight, and these ladies, if you're doing it to be admired, you're doing the wrong reason.
Right.
All that we do tonight, listen, the things that I've stood for the last several years and even the last few months is not for admiration, because I've gotten very little applause. But really, as a pastor, I don't have much choice. It's either honor God or honor the flesh.
Right.
And so when you put me in a corner to have to choose, if I'm going to be any kind of pastor, a husband and a father, a Christian, I've got to choose the Lord and the Word of God, even when it goes against myself.
Amen.
Or my flesh or my family. So be careful about throwing the word cultish around. And be careful about being wounded or offended if some knothead says, you're cultish, we're leaving. Show them the door and say, have a good day.
Right.
We'll pray for you. If you ever need anything, give us a call. But finish. Count the cost and finish. Lord, tonight we come to you in closing. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your great grace. And Lord, the world has no idea what we're doing. But help us, Lord, I pray, to live right, Father, for you. To be, Lord, a witness. To be a light of the world, Lord, because we love you, to honor you, Father. Lord, strip away, Father, from us our pride and our arrogance, Father. Lord, help us to be humble and Christ-like. Help us to walk with you, Father, and to love you, Father, and to count the cost that we may finish, Lord, and see you face to face and hear the words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Father, help us to love like we ought to love and believe truth, Lord. We pray in your name tonight. Amen.